Okay, Sarah. Hey, who's this Sarah person?
I don't
Sarah and
know.
Jeff are co-chairs of our Hardworking Resolutions Committee. So take it away.
All right, Jeff, go for it.
Well, we have three resolutions to present today, and we'll try to get to them quickly. We're going to have our great reader, Steve Bauer, who is one of our members, read the resolutions. And I guess I'll take the first one if there's debate, and then Sarah can take the last two. So, Steve, if you have it up.
Well, actually, it's recorded.
I've got it over here.
Oh, we got them recorded.
Yeah.
That's right.
So are you ready for resolution one then? Is that correct?
Yes.
Resolution one, Deb.
All right, here we go.
This is resolution 2020-01. Non-vocational services for persons with vision loss, submitted by Jeff Tom. Whereas the Federal Work Incentive Opportunity Act, WIOA, regulations preclude states from expending funds for services to rehabilitation clients who do not have an employment goal, and whereas many individuals who are blind or have low vision, especially seniors and others who have experienced recent vision loss, require a number of specialized services in order to continue to live independently, and whereas due to age and other circumstances, many of these individuals may never attempt to enter the employment market, while others will require a regimen of non-vocational services as a precondition to re-entering the labor market, and whereas these non-vocationally related services include the use of assistive technology, orientation and mobility, cooking, cleaning, and other activities of daily living, self-advocacy, and counseling, and whereas the only major source of funding for these services is the Federal Older Individuals Who Are Blind program, supplemented with small amounts of funds by a few states, not including California, and whereas it is estimated that the funding for this program meets less than 3% of the national need for such services, and whereas the importance of these services in enabling people with vision loss to remain independent and avoid institutionalization has been heightened by the challenges faced during the COVID-19 pandemic, and whereas people with other disabilities receive home and community-based services under the Older Americans Act, state Medicaid programs, and under the Federal Medicare program, and whereas specialized services for persons who are blind or have low vision have never been funded as home and community-based services under any of these programs, and where it is long past time to incorporate the funding for specialized services for people with low vision into Medicare, Medicaid, and the Older Americans Act in order to begin to address the ever-increasing unmet need for these services, now, therefore, it be resolved by the California Council of the Blind in virtual convention assembled this 20th day of June, 2020, that this organization advocate with the State Department of Health Care Services, the legislature, and the governor to include specialized services for people with vision loss among the services reimbursable by Medi-Cal, and be it further resolved that this organization work with the American Council of the Blind to advocate for the availability of additional funding sources for specialized non-vocational services for persons with vision loss, as well as to urge other ACB state affiliates to advocate for inclusion of these services under their state Medicaid programs. That is the resolution.
Okay, so Sarah, just in case I want to speak on this, why don't I let you handle the debate on it since I did submit it?
Sounds like a plan. All right, so the committee does recommend a due pass, so can I get a second?
Second.
All right, we got a second from Larry Gausman. Thank you, Larry. All right, so let's go ahead and go to our hands.
So you have Margaret Butchman Garcia.
All right, hey. Margaret. Does she just need to unmute?
Yeah. Oh, nope. There it is. They just need to unmute themselves.
Are you? Am I okay now?
Yes, you are.
There you are, Margaret.
Okay, thanks. I'm there talking away and you can't hear me. I just wanted to bring up a point that I'm not sure if it's appropriate to add to this resolution or not, and you guys can be the best judge of that, just because I do work at a center that has OIB funding and it's very limited. I do very much agree with that. I do know that right now we can provide Medicaid through, you know, get reimbursed from Medicare and Medicaid, but it has to be through an occupational therapist. And that's like, we can't afford to hire a person at that level. So I'm wondering if something needs to be added to this, that it doesn't have to be this professional certified master degree person that provides the services in order for this to happen for our older individuals.
Could we put in that an amendment in the clause about fund that we don't get funding under Medicare and Medicaid are seldom funded? Could that sort of, otherwise it would be a very complicated clause, and hardly anybody does employ occupational therapists on their staffs in our agencies. Right. So would that satisfy your concern, Margaret? I mean, I see where you're coming from.
Yeah, I think so. I would love to see us be able to get reimbursed for all the things we do, because we only get $35,000 a year to serve about, you know, 120 people. And it's way not enough, but we can't be reimbursed because we don't have occupational therapists on our staff. So I don't know if there's a way that I just thought I'd bring that up.
Yeah, that's fine. Thank you. Appreciate that. We'll make an amendment to cover that wording.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you want another hand?
Yes.
Okay. You have Don Queen, and Don can now talk.
Hello, Mr. Don Queen.
Yes. Can you hear me?
We can.
Yes. I would like to speak. Well, I have some serious questions on this. We've had specialized services because the other agencies never really understood the special needs of blind persons. And I was on the grant committee several times for approval of the program, and there isn't enough money there. It needs to be more. But I'm not sure that Medicare is going to give you much money. They've cut their funding. They haven't cut their funding, but they don't all. If you go to Medi-Cal or Medicare, you're on a second tier of low-paid practitioners or teaching institutions, and the senior blind programs do seem to have a bit more money. But I really think that we better be careful about losing our identity and the specialized services that blind persons do.
So, Don, let me address that. You're absolutely right. We need to have our services funded. We don't want to change who provides the services. We don't want to change what the services are. But in point of fact, the OIB program is not going to get more funding. And we have to do more to search for, in every nook and cranny, to find ways to subcontract for the provision of the services that our folks need. And the only way to do that is to go for Medicaid waivers or to latch on to, you know, other types of funding, whether it's under the Older Americans Act or wherever. There's been a lot of reasons why we said, oh, we don't want to play in their playing field, but we really have to. We're not going to, $3 million for the state of California is like chunk change. And it's time we abandon the strategy of putting our heads in the sand and look for other funding. So I understand your concern, but we have to have more money.
I think we need to require some sort of specialization like we used to in the welfare department, where if you had over so many blind persons, you had a specialized counselor or a specialized caseload. And we lost all that when it went to SSI. But all those special provisions were lost. And so I think we need to be very careful that when they adopt programs that they require some type of thing. And I don't think the, I don't know what good the master's degree does at all, but we didn't require, we required a master's, but not a, an occupational therapist. We had their specialized graduate programs in the field of blindness.
So, Don, in Montana, did you know that O&M services are funded through Medicaid?
I wondered.
In Louisiana, Braille is funded through Medicaid. So these things can be done. We just have to get to work on it.
Eye doctors really don't know when you need it.
But an orientation and mobility instructor knows what you need.
Oh, yes, they do. And I have to pay them enough. That's fine. But I think we be careful but and require these special programs in the senior blind programs that they make some kind of provision to protect.
Thank you, Don.
Okay. You have Edward Creston.
All right, Ed.
And that person can now talk.
No, I really think we should go ahead and pass. This is a good resolution.
Thank you, Ed.
Okay. Do you... We have one more.
Let's see what our one more is.
Okay, this is Josh Way. And Josh can now talk.
Okay, I just wanted to say that I'm very glad that this resolution is being proposed because I've observed that more and more the Department of Rehabilitation is being fixated on people who are learning how to be educated for business or for work. And this is important, but it's also important that seniors can have access to services they need. For example, I've taught access technology, taught people how to use computer access to connect with their family and stuff. And these are seniors that need these services. And yet now the Department of Rehabilitation is not providing them except to people who can be employed. So I'm glad that we're moving forward on this.
Thank you. All right. And Randy, do we have any other hands up?
We do not.
All right. So Jeff, shall we go ahead and do the vote?
Let's do it.
All right. So on the count of three, all those in favor, raise your hand.
You skipped the one, two, three.
Well, I was going to say, are you going to count to three so we know what to do?
Oh, yeah, that's right. One, two, three. Sorry. I was counting to three in my head because I was trying to find my more button. I'm telling you guys.
That's okay. They figured out what to do.
We're all learning to multitask.
Hey, we're equal opportunities here.
We're trying to get to that party, you know.
Well, you know, because guys, my intersections are blondness and blindness, so you know, forgive me.
I like that. That's great.
Now, this is Rob with a quick comment. I noticed that people are lowering their hands fairly quickly, and I'm wondering if they're giving enough time for everything to be counted. So I'm hearing people lowering hands while the vote, you know, while this is going on. It makes me wonder.
They need to wait till people tell you to lower your hands.
Yeah, we're taking the vote when it actually stops going up. So some of those lowerings come back up again and things too. So, but it's true.
Everybody just raise your hand and let it stay there until we are told by Randy and Deb.
Yeah, and the advantage is your arm, it really isn't getting tired.
Right.
That's true.
Right.
Just your finger from tapping on the raise.
You have 65.
65 and just
76 with the panel.
The panelists, and just for the record, it is a majority. I double checked it.
Okay. Yeah, you're good then.
So
shall we go ahead and lower hands then, guys?
Are we holding steady at 7? What did you say, 76?
It was 66, and I was back down to 65.
Yeah, but we had another 10, 11 with the panel, so.
All right, and then, sir, are we holding steady, shall we?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, I'm lowering.
Oh, excuse me. Hiccups.
Bless you.
It sounds to me like you've got plenty of a majority, so we're lowering hands, right?
Yes. Yes.
All right, all the hands are down.
All right. So now really on the count of three, you're going to raise your hand if you are opposed. So one, two, three.
And leave them up till you're told.
And leave, yes, and leave them up until you are told to put them down or until Deb and Randy take care of it for you.
And thank you for counting for us that time.
Oh, you're welcome. That was my blindness side of me, not the blondness.
You have one hand raised and it's holding steady at one.
All right. So now let's go ahead and put our one hand down. And for good measure, any abstentions? One, two, three, raise your hand.
And looks like you are holding steady at one hand again.
All right. So sounds like we got a pass.
Okay. Thank you from the California Alliance on Aging and Vision Loss. And maybe I'll do Resolution 2's debate and you can do the third one. So shall we queue up number two, Deb?
This is Resolution 2020-02. The safe and accessible navigation of people with disabilities at conference and convention sites. Submitted by Bob Acosta. Whereas both state and federal law require places of public accommodation, including hotels, to provide reasonable modifications for guests with disabilities, including those with vision and hearing loss, and whereas, since its inception, the California Council of the Blind, CCB, has chosen host hotels throughout the state for its annual conference and convention, and whereas CCB has always sought hotels that are affordable, safe, and accessible for all attendees, and whereas it is essential that CCB ensure that all convention attendees are able to safely navigate the hotel regardless of disability in addition to a vision impairment, including hearing loss. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the California Council of the Blind, in virtual convention assembled this 20th day of June, 2020, that this organization instruct its officers, directors, and staff to sign contracts with conference and convention sites who agree to make reasonable modifications in policies, practices, and procedures when the modifications are necessary to meet the safety and access needs of people with vision and other disabilities. And be it further resolved that the convention planning committee include a person who is either blind or has low vision with an accompanying hearing loss or has expertise in hearing loss during the initial hotel tour. That is the resolution.
Okay. The committee recommends a do pass, and I so move. Do we have second. Anybody who
second.
Is for this resolution? We have a second. I'm sorry. We do. And the... So if we have anybody who is for the resolution, please raise your, who wants to talk, please raise your hand.
We have Margie B.
Okay, Margie.
And you can now talk.
Oh, I think I'm unmuted. Is that correct?
You are. You're on.
Thank you. I just want to review something. Did it say it's not forcing the convention committee correctly? Correct. It's a committee. Is that accurate?
Sorry, you cut out, Margie.
Oh, no. It's a commitment from the hotel. Is
you want us to read the result?
Is that accurate?
Margie, do you have the resolved right in front of you, Sarah? Can you read the...
I've got it here if you want me
you
to.
Got it.
Oh,
okay,
that
Steve,
would be much better.
Read it.
Okay. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the California Council of the Blind in virtual convention assembled this 20th day of June, 2020, that this organization instruct its officers, directors, and staff to sign contracts with conference and convention sites who agree to make reasonable modifications in policies, practices, and procedures when the modifications are necessary to meet the safety and access needs of people with vision and other disabilities. And be it further resolved that the Convention Planning Committee include a person who is either blind or has low vision with an accompanying hearing loss, or who has expertise in hearing loss during the initial hotel tour.
Okay, you've heard the resolve. Do you want to speak for it or against it?
I think I'm in favor of it. I'm just a little concerned about the lack of teeth in this and might consider a friendly amendment, but I'm not sure how that would be yet. You know, we're supposed to have a guide dog rep and touring the convention hotel sites, and I might be wrong, so I can be corrected. I don't believe we've done that recently.
Yes, we have.
Yes, we
have done that.
Okay. Thank you, Judy, for the correction. I just think it needs a little more teeth, and I'm going to leave it at that. I'm concerned about the, you know, hotels will make commitments to get bids, and then if they don't follow through, I guess more teeth in it that if they don't follow through, we will not meet at that hotel again. Bob, would you consider something like that a friendly amendment? I don't have the wording perfectly yet.
Well, I suppose it could basically say, and be it further resolved, that if a hotel with which we have signed a contract does not follow through on its commitments, we shall not hold any subsequent convention at that hotel.
I'd be very happy with that.
Okay. So we will have a way of putting that amendment into the resolution.
Okay, I'm concerned there? About...
Yeah. Hold on, Margie. Hold on.
Does the maker consider that a friendly amendment? Or?
Yeah. Bob, can we hear from you as to whether that's a friendly amendment? Thank you, Steve.
Technically, this is Gabe. Technically, or with the point of order here, technically it's the committee at this point. So it would be you and Sarah as the chairs of the committee that would make the decision as to whether it's a friendly amendment.
That's true, although I would like to hear from Bob as to whether I don't want to forge in a direction that he doesn't approve of, since it's his resolution. So Bob, if you're
able to raise your hand, and he's Robert Acosta.
Jeff, before Bob speaks, I add one more thing.
Okay.
No additional cost to the CCB.
Okay, so that's the other friendly amendment that you're proposing?
As part of that, yeah, at no additional cost to the CCB. Yes.
Well, if we decided not to have a meeting there subsequently, how would there be additional cost to the CCB?
I'm assuming she means that they agree to make modifications at no cost to CCB.
Correct.
Charlene, a point of question about that? If I'm right, under the ADA, they can't charge us for modifications. They have to anything.
Well, but we could always.
Madam Chair, can you hear me?
There's Bob.
Bob.
Go ahead, Bob.
Okay. I wanted to ask the first one. You're saying, did you say subsequent? In other words, if they said, no, we won't do it. But you said, then we won't come back. Is that what you're saying?
No, let me. Okay. So she's offering two amendments. The first.
I'm going to hear slowly. Yes. Please.
Okay. The first would be that the modifications couldn't be at any cost to us. I'm assuming you.
Oh, I agree with that.
Okay. The second is we sign the contract. They agree to do these things. We sign the contract, and they don't do them. We have to have the convention, just a contract to sign, but or else we go to court or whatever. So we have the convention, but then we would not have any subsequent convention there if they didn't follow through on what they were supposed to do. That's her amendment.
The first one's easy. Second one, there's no punishment because you're saying, okay, we won't come back. And they say, good, don't come back. You know, we're not going to, I don't know what to say. I know it belongs to the committee. I think Margie, some of the teeth were taken out. The author always thinks that, you know, a lot of good people worked on it. I guess I'll leave it to the committee, but I don't think that solves much. If they say no, but you're coming anyway.
No. If they say yes, and then they don't, and then we sign the contract, and then they don't do it.
as long as it's listed that in permit. The contract. If it's listed, if you put that clause in the contract that if, hey, if you don't do it, we're not coming, we're canceling. I'd like to see you cancel, but I don't think it's practical. So yes, I'll accept it, but I think you should put the clause in the contract.
Okay. Yeah, that's, we understand that that's the view.
I'll take what we can get. We want to set policy. We want to start policy here with hard of hearing. And right. This is the beginning.
So both of those friendly amendments have been accepted. I think we're now ready for someone who's opposed. If we have, so anybody who's in favor, please lower your hands. And you guys can tell me when that is.
Okay, the hands are lowered, so now all right. Call it again.
Call on those who are, if anyone who is opposed can now raise their hand.
And Jeff, this is Judy. Let me just add in here that we will go with the awards, our wonderful awards celebration, as long as we need to finish it.
Okay. We have Sheila Gunn-Cushman.
Okay, Sheila.
I don't know whether I'm considered as opposed, but if the answer to this question is not what I want to see, then I would be opposed. I have disabilities where I have to not have to deal with stairs. And so I would like other disabilities other than just hard of hearing to be there. Or I would like to see us be sure to be just fully compliant with the Americans with Disabilities Act. And I do understand that we have not fought very hard for, in my opinion anyway, other disabilities than blindness when at our conventions. And so I would like to see that.
So this resolution is broad enough and does cover other disabilities. It doesn't have the person with other disabilities on the tour like it does for hearing loss, but with respect to disabilities that it covers for reasonable accommodations or modifications, I should say, it definitely covers other disabilities as well. Yes.
I want to make sure that other disabilities will not be punished if we are in a hotel that doesn't work for us. I just remember the Hyatt in San Jose, and I had just gotten over a broken leg and walking miles and then having to climb flights of stairs because they had no elevator.
Okay. Well, this resolution is broad and covers other disabilities. Anyone else? Now we're looking for someone in favor.
Charlene,
yes.
I'm in favor of this because we have not done as much accommodation for people that are visually impaired or blind and hearing impaired. We have for other disabilities, not to the extent maybe we should have, but it is covered in the ADA. And in the past, we have looked at the ADA access requirements at facilities. So I think it's already in our policy. This is the hearing part is an addition to a policy for convention sites that we already have. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. Sorry.
Yeah, that's fine. Thank you very much.
You're still looking for someone for, right?
Yes. Anybody seeking the floor who is against?
Oh, against. All right.
Yeah, we're looking for against. Anybody yet?
Nope. It doesn't.
Okay. In that case, we're going to call for the question. So, on the count of three.
Jeff, this is Christy.
Yes. Are you an opposed or a for?
I am on the fence because this also should include people with diabetes. And, you know, some people dropped out of CCB because they were so upset as to how they were treated regarding the diabetic considerations that we asked about for the convention. So let's not forget those folks. And I know it's broad enough. And that would be an accommodation that I would encourage. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Christy. Okay. At this point, we will call for the question. And so on the count of three, all those in favor of the resolution, raise your hand. One, two, three, raise your hand. As high as you can.
It looks like you have 60 hands so far.
Okay.
61.
And plus the panelists.
I'm getting those. Yeah, I'll get those.
I think we've got a pretty good number. Let's go ahead and lower hands.
Okay, I have 76.
All right.
Great. All right, all the hands are down.
Okay, now all those opposed to the resolution, raise your hands. One, two, three. Raise your hands.
I'm telling you that one, two, three, it's easy to say that you're going to do it and then doing it.
Okay, it looks like you're holding steady at two hands.
Okay. We'll call for abstentions because we should. So lower your hands.
Hands
lowered, I should say. And any abstentions?
You are holding steady at two hands.
Okay. So the resolution is passed, and I'm now going to turn it back to Sarah for our final resolution of the day.
Awesome. And before we get to our final resolution, I do want to say that we did have another resolution submitted by Olivia Ostergaard regarding tucking prescription labels and pharmacies and all that good stuff. And she did withdraw it because it's something that ACB is already working on. So I just want to recognize that Olivia Ostergaard did submit a resolution, and it was really great. But it was already being worked on. So we are going to move on to our last resolution. So hold it, Deb.
This is resolution 2020-04, Fraudulent Service Animals, submitted by Golden State Guide Dog Handlers Incorporated Advocacy Committee. Whereas the Americans with Disabilities Act, ADA, and its implementing regulations, as well as California law, define the term service animal and firmly establish the rights of service animal handlers to bring their animals into places of public accommodation. And whereas a service animal is defined as a dog or miniature horse specifically trained to perform tasks related to a person's disability. And whereas emotional support or comfort animals are not specifically trained to perform tasks related to a person's disability and are therefore not considered to be service animals under the ADA, and whereas many individuals falsely representing their pets or emotional support animals as service animals bring these animals into such places as restaurants, shops, and on public transit vehicles, either out of ignorance or out of a conscious intent to defy rules against bringing non-service animals into places of public accommodation, and whereas the presence and frequent behavioral issues of such animals in public places imposes a potential threat to the safety of genuine service dog teams, contributes to public confusion as to the role and legal status of service animals in our society, and erodes the civil rights of service animal handlers, and whereas operators of businesses and other places of public accommodation often lack adequate information and guidance regarding the accommodation of service animal handlers and the proper response to individuals who wrongfully claim to have service animals, and whereas there are many business operators and medical professionals that knowingly or unknowingly aid and abet service animal fraud by providing service animal documentation or selling service animal paraphernalia to non-service animal owners. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the California Council of the Blind in virtual convention assembled this 20th day of June 2020, that this organization assists its affiliate, Golden State Guide Dog Handlers Incorporated, GSGDHI, in developing and implementing a public education campaign that will inform public entities, including law enforcement and animal control agencies, public accommodations and commercial facilities, and the general public about the correct definition of service animals and the legitimate rights and responsibilities of service animal handlers. And be it further resolved that this public education campaign may involve such activities as the dissemination of information through online platforms or other means, entering into partnerships with public or private entities, and the seeking of grants or other revenue sources to use in the conducting of this initiative. And be it further resolved that this organization collaborate with GSGDHI and other organizations to advocate for legislative and regulatory solutions for the prevention of service animal fraud. That is the resolution.
And thank you again, Steve. So professional. The committee recommends a do pass. Can I get a second?
Second.
All right. Thank you. Got a couple of seconds. One was Steve. I believe the other was Charlene. All right.
This is Judy. Yes. I'm suggesting that we only take anybody against this resolution who wants to speak.
Okay. That is not how we traditionally do things, but we could start with against, maybe.
No, I'm thinking, Sarah, so overwhelming support for this. That given that it's well after 3.
Well, I will tell you that all the hands are now down.
All right. So do we don't have anyone against.
Well, we haven't officially called for against.
So I'm officially calling. If anyone is against this resolution, please raise your hand.
It does not look like you have anybody speaking out against.
All right, then Jeff, do you think it's okay to call for the question then?
Call for the question?
Yep.
I'm asking. All right, so we're going to go ahead then. All right, so all those in favor, on the count of 3, 1, 2, 3, raise your hand.
You're fine. You have 75 and all growing. Right.
You're holding steady at 65 on the audience or the participants.
Yeah,
side.
77.
77. All right. Then we can go ahead and lower hands.
Okay. Well, there's got... I've got one hand that will not go down no matter what I do. But other than that, all the hands are down.
All right. So then anyone opposed of this resolution, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. Are we pretty steady?
Yeah, no, it's staying at 3.
All right. So let's go ahead and lower those. All right. And then any abstentions, go ahead and raise your hand.
Okay, you have 3 and you are holding steady.
For abstention, some people just like to do it.
Okay.
Rebels, right? Yeah. All right, so that resolution passed as well. So that concludes our resolution committee report, but I would like to take the privilege to thank the committee. Of course, on behalf of Jeff and I, so we have Linda Perrell, Stephen Mendelson, Steve Bauer, Robert Wendt, Gene Lozano, and Mr. Gabe Griffith.
And we're a feist group. And we loved having our open resolutions calls because we had more people than ever before listening to our resolutions.
Yes. And because we're just a bunch of nerds that, you know, we like to argue about words and commas and semicolons and other things. So definitely come in and join us again.
And I heard a rumor that Robert was up late last night waiting for a resolutions meeting.
Oh, was he sad? Maybe he was arguing by himself.
Do we need a motion to accept the report of the bylaw of the
Judy, how about say without a unless there's an objection, the report of the resolutions committee is hereby accepted.
I think that sounds fantastic.
Okay. It's like we've been doing so many of the other things today. Unless if all hands are lowered, unless there is an objection, we accept the report of the resolutions committee.
I feel so happy. I'm finally accepted.
Not it here.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, okay. So I'm pushing on here because we are running late. And I did ask Lisa for a list of the convention chapters and affiliates who donated door prizes. But let's have one or two before she reads that list.
Okay. So the lucky number is 49, and that is Donna Pomerantz.
Oh.
Somebody is unmuted who's cheering.
Yeah, I was just going to mention that, Judy.
I don't think it was, but it wasn't you, Sarah.
I know. No, I just want to mention that because there is somebody that is unmuted on the participant side.
We got it.
I keep hearing them.
Yeah.
Yep, we got it.
It may be. Lisa, go for another one.
Okay. And the lucky number is 66, and that is Jim Chamberlain.
Hey. Okay, Lisa, are you ready with the list of participants so that we can hear who donated these wonderful Amazon gift cards?
Yes, I am. So we have the Acosta family donated 2, Redwood Empire chapter 4, Silicon Valley donated 2, Orange County donated 2, Bayview chapter donated 2, Greater Long Beach Chapter 2, San Francisco Chapter 2, Contra Costa 2, GSGDHDI 2, Kahlua 2, Greater LA Chapter 4, Glendale Burbank Chapter 2, Fresno Chapter 4, Bakersfield Chapter 4, Golden Gate Chapter 2, ACB Capital Chapter 4. Thank you, chapters, for your donations for the raffles. We really appreciate it.
And Lisa, would you do me a favor and text Nicole and make sure she knows that they're now free to leave if they haven't already?
Sure. Yeah.
Thank you.
I'll be happy to do that.
Thank you. Okay, and they may not be listening, but thank you again, staff, for all your help today.